what's behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's this personal thing, is this, and I want you to imagine that you live just outside the city of Jerusalem. You're a tent owner, and the story starts from there. You have just seen the children off to school. It's Friday. The sun is shining, and there are things to do about the tent. You and your family have lived amongst other tent dwellers for 3 years now, being located outside the protective city walls of Jerusalem. This normally quiet district is aroused by a solemn drumbeat of a Roman soldier, accompanied by the murmuring of a crowd of people, mainly men. This jolts your memory into focus. There was talk around the district about a crucifixion of criminals being held today. Your heart missed a beat. How could the authorities allow such barbaric cruelty? You asked yourself. Furthermore, one of the men you learned at the market was Jesus. Would you believe it? Jesus. What has he done to deserve being tortured to death on a cross? All the people in the entire region, let alone Jerusalem, knew about Jesus. After all, whatever your thoughts about his claim to be the Son of God, his compassion for people was amazing. He healed many folk, told unique stories, and his miracles were sensational. 3 times he brought people back to life after they'd been confirmed dead. You could only conclude that the established Jewish priests, in their jealousy and abject ignorance, were behind this travesty. Responding to a strange compulsion, you fastened the tent flap and off you set towards Golgotha at the top of the hill, not too far off. Thankfully, the impaling of the 3 men had already happened. Standing on tiptoe, you could see the crowd filing past the unfortunates in a morbid, shuffling procession, before turning back on itself to continue looking on. Joining the crowd on its right-hand side, on its outer edge, you progressed towards the criminal on the left of Jesus. Jesus was in the middle and was distinguishable by a plaque above his head. You could just read what it said in Aramaic, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The same title, presumably, was written in Latin and Greek. In the area in front of the crosses, there was stationed a group of Roman soldiers. These had drawn swords and shields. On approaching the crosses, your eye caught sight of a small group of people off to the right. These were mainly women. Standing near them was a solitary Roman soldier. He had discarded his plumed helmet, but was casually leaning on a long spear. A thought crossed your mind as to why he held a spear and his comrades only had swords. Drawing level with the gap between Jesus and the man on his left, the crowd was suddenly thrown into a wild panic. Several Roman soldiers barged into the crowd, sending people sprawling. Were they after an accomplice of the criminals? As people pushed and shoved each other in order to escape injury, you received a savage blow on your side, causing you to stumble. The several running steps of the crowd expelled you from the throng to an area behind the crosses. So, regaining your balance and your breath, you were startled by the fact that you stood there all alone, totally alone. To stay in the gap would bring the threat of arrest into play. So on a sudden impulse, by taking 3 or 4 strides, you could hide behind the cross of Jesus. The vertical post was just wide enough to conceal your body. And standing against this rough timber, you look right and left. Over your shoulders. The crowd has settled down by now, and the guards now had their backs to you. For added security, you allowed your legs to bend, and by sliding down the post, rested in a sitting position behind the cross of Jesus. How long you could remain concealed was a cause for concern, but your overwhelming desire was to think, and to think hard. The questions burning deep into your very soul were, how has all this happened? What's behind this event? What's really going on? What's behind the cross of Jesus? Answers to these sorts of questions are hard to comprehend. Nevertheless, in concentrating with eyelids closed, you consider past events recorded in Scripture. Although not particularly well versed in theology, you recall certain accounts from God's holy word. What about Abraham, told by God to sacrifice his long-awaited son, Isaac, his only son? Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. There was the boy Isaac, carrying the wood for the burnt offering on his back, his father with a flaming torch in hand. Isaac then inquired about the need for a lamb for the burnt offering, to which Abraham replied, God himself will provide the lamb. You focus hard now. What did that man dressed in rough clothing say in the wilderness? That's right, John the Baptist, he was called. And he greeted Jesus with the phrase, Luke, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, 29. Could that be what was happening behind you? Jesus Christ being sacrificed for mankind. Still deep in thought, you become aware of a drop in the temperature. In fact, it becomes quite cold. On opening your eyes, the reason is very obvious. The sun high above you is slowly but surely being covered by the moon. This causes its warmth and its light to diminish. Watching the movement of the moon is unique in your experience. Is this a sign from God that at this precise moment the planets are signalling a very special event in history? This triggers a thought about the birth of Jesus. You have been told that learned men from eastern countries have followed the star, which had led them to Bethlehem, where Jesus had been born. How strange is that? Lowering your line of sight to the distant horizon, you could see a stretched out black cloud advancing towards you. This was uncanny. Being involved in farming, you learned to read the weather signs, being able to judge when it would rain and so on. This cloud, if you could call it a cloud, was different. It was an approaching darkness, and it was beginning to engulf the whole region. By this time, you thought it must be noontime, as the blotted out sun was directly above this dreadful place where you found yourself. A sudden shiver went through your body. Drawing your collar tight round your neck didn't bring any comfort. By adjusting your position, but still sitting, you lean over to one side, placing your hand on the ground for leverage. But it wasn't stony soil that you felt, it was some sort of material. Being used to rough fabric, you immediately recognised this as being different. It was a fine, woven garment. Your urge for warmth led you to draw it from its resting place behind you to wrap it around your body. In doing this, you could feel damp patches on it, which made you tingle with shock. Having been laid below the feet of Jesus, the blood dripping from his many wounds had soaked into the garment. Discarding it quickly to one side, you returned to your thoughts. What on earth was going on? As a child, you recalled your grandmother, bless her. She had lots of stories about ancestors and how God had chosen them as a special race. Yes, she told about the escape from Egypt and how the cruel Pharaoh prevented them from leaving. She recounted 9 plagues altogether, and one of them was a plague of darkness, which could be felt. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. Thankfully, this darkness was not a total blackout, as the foreground could still be seen. Will it be like this for 3 days, you thought? Jesus had something to say about 3 days. He said he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Was he due to die any minute now? Did that mean he would come back to life on Sunday? Mark 8:31. You sensed that the accusing priests and synagogue leaders had put 2 and 2 together about this darkness being of the Lord. The crowd has sensed it too, causing it to stop its taunting and mocking as it was now silent and awestruck. The silence was eventually broken by a gasping, hardly discernible voice up to your right. The criminal there, in a last desperate attempt to save his life, demanded that Jesus shall work a miracle and get the 3 of them down and restored to life. This prompted an agonized response from the other criminal. Don't you fear God? We are getting what we deserve, but Jesus has done nothing wrong. Adding, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then Jesus strained to graciously reply, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Did you hear correctly? Jesus had offered this criminal a place in paradise with himself that day. There would be an amazing transformation from the agony of a cross to the bliss of paradise. You felt the need to have that for yourself. If he was going to paradise, then where was the other criminal's spirit going to end up? That place had to be hell, because Jesus made references in some of his talks to such a place being real. Holding your head in your hands with your elbows supported by your bent knees, the discarded bloodstained garment was still in your eyeline. As you looked down, you began to feel drowsy. And by allowing your eyelids to close, your imagination took on a dimension beyond normal thoughts. This was some sort of spiritual experience. Oddly enough, you saw a man on an island, and somehow you were able to tap into a vision which he was having. All of this was weird because it involved a future event. Astonishingly, you recognised the man involved. He was standing with a group of women that you passed earlier on. And furthermore, you recalled his name as being John, a favourite disciple of Jesus. This vision you saw was due to be written down in the fullness of time. It was becoming hard to comprehend what you could see. The mental pictures were blurring over, but as a conclusion, you distinctly remember seeing an unusual rider mounted on a white horse. He was wearing crowns on his head, but one of the striking features was that he was dressed in a robe, dripped in blood. Revelation 19, verse 13. You realise now that the garments at your feet was in fact a robe and had presumably been draped around the body of Jesus. It was undoubtedly stained by his blood and appeared in the spirit world of the Lord at a future date. You now remember the time of the Passover. You recall the time when the Israelite nation was about to leave Egypt from captivity and were told by God through Moses to sacrifice a lamb and to paint its blood on the door frames, Exodus 12:13. The blood would then alert an angel to pass over those homes and not kill the eldest child living there. Your heart went out even to the Egyptians for their loss. Why did this essential life-giving blood need to be shed? Suppose the system of sacrificing animals to appease the Lord and gain his forgiveness came to a close. It would be possible for a new system of accepting the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, instead. Just the one for the many. Time seemed to pause and have little significance while she considered the words of the prophet Isaiah. These have been read many times in synagogue. A couple of lines struck home. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wrongdoing. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:1-12. Things are beginning to make sense now when you recall having to memorize a whole section of the scripture, which as a young person made no sense at all. Most of your fellow scholars learned Psalm 23, but you chose Psalm 22 instead. But now, the prophetic words are becoming clear. Part of it comes to mind. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a broken pot, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. A band of evil men has encircled me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword and my precious life from the power of these evil men. Psalm 22:14-20. Surely the psalm of David foretold a future event which was now happening behind you. 3 hours have now passed by, and with a final effort, Jesus cried out in unbelievable agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Moments later, Jesus summoned up the last of his strength to shout, it is finished. You were then aware that his incredible earthly life had ended. Your heartbeat increased and your own breath came in short gasps. A sudden earthquake made it worse. You questioned yourself, what could you do about what had happened? Turning to one side, you crawled around to the front of the cross and knelt at the feet of Jesus. Your unspoken appeal to him for his forgiveness is truly overwhelming. As you bring yourself to shuffle away from the cross, wiping tears from your eyes, you look up to see his bowed head, and it's encircled by a ring of bright light. The moon has finally begun to move, revealing a burst of sunlight, which you consider to signal the birth of a new era. Having now experienced the forgiveness of the Saviour, a restoration of your soul has taken place. Within you, there was incredible relief and joy as you had an assurance of a passage to paradise. All this made possible by acknowledging Jesus as being the Christ, the Son of the living God. You knew full well that it was the love of God shown by the sacrifice of his only Son, which is behind the cross. With this newfound experience, there comes a strong desire to tell as many people as you can about this wonderful good news as to the truth behind the cross of Jesus Christ.